God bless you, Brother Melvin. It's such a good to be here. We're on a little bit different status than what I used to be. As you know, after 51 years, I retired as senior pastor of the Livingstone Cathedral of Worship. However, I am still a member of that wonderful church and wonderful pastor, and we'll be bringing the word and announcing our church still. However, it's my own ministry at this point. So with that in mind, let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we ask you to help us today as we go about to deliver this message that you have given me out of the Old Testament scripture, Isaiah. We thank you for the privilege to do it. We thank you for the opportunity to let men and women know that you are a loving and kind and merciful God. And no matter how we've been or what we might act like, you still love us anyway, and we thank you for it. Bless us and give us strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're thankful to be on the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. KRAJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley. And Brother Melvin is our leader, who's on from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Sunday after Sunday, and we are thankful for that. Now, today I would leave a message, and what I'm the Lord has given me is a message of hope, a message of hope, and I'm calling it Dress for Comfort, Dress for Comfort. And this is found primarily in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. During some of the rough time for Israel's life and the condition that they had to come through and what they had gone through and what they're going to be going through, the Lord sent them a message of hope through one of the finest prophets that ever lived on the face of the earth during that time and probably ever will be living, and that is the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to start with a statement that Jesus used over in the book of Luke, and it says this: Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Notice we're using today, dress for comfort. Verse number 3 is where our text word will come from. To appoint unto them, listen to this, to appoint unto them, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy, and for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, keep that in mind as we turn to another passage of scripture, and this one we will find in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. So listen at that. But we have this treasure in earthy vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled, listen to this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always abounding about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ be made manifest in our bodies. For And now I'd like to take you another scripture. I'm going to read all the scripture to you. And then we want the Holy Spirit to talk to us about this. Now listen to what Jesus said to those who are uncomfortable. Notice we're talking about being dressed for comfort. So I'm looking now at Matthew 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Matthew 11, 28. Look at that. Listen to what Jesus said. Come unto me, Henry. Come unto me, Melvin. Come unto me, all of you all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, we're talking about being dressed for comfort. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke, there's no doubt about it that we got a yoke. But my yoke, Jesus said, is easy. And there ain't no doubt that we'll have burden, but they're light. So we're talking about dress for comfort. Come with me again back to the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah had a word for rest, and I'm so thankful that I was included in that group. He said that he was given direction by the Holy Spirit, and ladies and gentlemen, you and I are living in a very strange time, and I've shared this more times than not. On every sermon that I live in, I try to bring to the remembrance of those of you who will take the time to listen and to join in with us in the message to call to your attention that we're living in some strange times. And these strange times should not be strange to us, because we've been informed that they are strange. And so since we have been delivered by the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that these are strange times. And we are living at a time that the Word of God is coming true in our very living time. By the way, on the 30th of last month, August, at 4:45, thereabout, p.m., my last sibling, my brother Doug Hearn, passed away. Now, there were five of us born on the plantations back in Bahia, Mississippi. We lived on three different plantations. I was born on the first plantation, the Ingham McCrary plantation. And I know that doesn't mean that much to you, but it was in Bahia, Mississippi. Then my daddy moved us to the second plantation, which was the Dr. McCauley plantation. And that's where the rest of my siblings were born, right there on the McCauley plantation. And so now there were five of us. And by the time I was about 8 years old, all of the rest were born, but all of the rest was younger than me. And the doctor, Dr. McCauley, who was on the draft board there in Bahia, Mississippi, and the white gentlemen who were on the draft board had charge of it, and they really could send anybody that they wanted to war. And that was during World War II. So my daddy, by this time, by the time we moved to the second plantation, him and mama, can I say mama and them? Mama and them began to think there got to be a better way to live than to live on from plantation to plantation and going to the white man to get whatever we needed to live, to eat, and to put our clothes on our kids. There got to be some other way to do this. So when they began to get their heads together, Dr. McCauley saw that my daddy was getting some different ideas and different thoughts. So he had him put in World War II and pushed the rest of us, because I was the oldest at 8 years old, and the rest were younger than me. And so now, no way we're going to be able to raise the amount of cotton that we needed to. So he kicked us off. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please believe me that homelessness is a common element in our day and time. But homelessness was not common in my day. Homelessness The first time I really didn't even know we were homeless. I knew that we didn't have a place to live, but I knew that the place we did live wasn't much of a place, and we could find something under a tree somewhere that we could live some kind of way. So Dr. McCauley had my daddy put in World War II and put us off of his property. Well, Mama went to the third plantation. Now we're at the third plantation. And at the third plantation, Mr. Rivers Burks was his name, who owned the third plantation. Now, Mr. Rivers, I never heard him say anything about God. I never heard him say anything about Christ Jesus. I never heard him say anything about the Holy Spirit. I never heard him talk about loving anybody. But he was a rich white guy who owned around 1,000 acres in a place called Miller, Mississippi, just out of Bahia. But he cared for those black sharecroppers. And ladies and gentlemen, if you could see my face, I feel tears in my eyes at this point when I think about this. And he would cut off his tractor at the end of the row, and as many of the sharecroppers that were close to the shade tree, he would sit down with us and drink water out of our jugs. A white man drinking out of a Negro water barrel where we drawed the water and brought it to the field in a bucket. So he would talk to us, and he would talk to us as if we were real people, which most plantation owners did not do. But he talked to us as we were real people. And I said now, as I've gotten to this age in my life and has moved through the system as I have and has been as successful as I've been, is the hand of God was in Rivers Burke to the point he told Mama, I want you to borrow what you need to feed your family and take all the money that your husband sent to you, put in the bank. And she said, Mr. Rivers, black people cannot have. She called, Negroes cannot have bank accounts here in Bahia, Mississippi. He says, I'll get you a bank account. And he did. So Mama saved all the money, making a long story short. And she took the money and put it in the bank. Mr. Rivers signed the document where she could have the bank account. And he put her name on it and my name on it, being the oldest kid. And finally, later on, in 1945, let's see, I believe I'm right, Daddy got out of World War II and he came home. Mr. Rivers, knowing that soldiers were strange during those days, he said, don't tell your husband nothing about the money till you know he's all right. So it didn't take too long for Mama to know that Daddy was all right, and he came back with vengeance to go to work in Memphis to make some money and get us a place of our own some kind of way. Then Mr. Rivers told my mama, you ought to tell him now. And my daddy, they call him Red. And most of the people in the area call him Big Red. So she told him. Meantime, Mr. Rivers had gone up the road, a few miles up the road, and found a 60-acre plot of property that Mama had saved the money for and bought that 60 acres of property for $2,000. And my daddy was so excited when he found out that he could own his own property. He really kind of grew up and grew out of black into a real manhood in a hurry. But that was all at the hand of God through the mind of Mr. Rivers Burks. And by the way, just another little sideline story, and I don't want to get too much off into this, but I do. I have a few more minutes and I can share this with you. We had one sharecropper who couldn't count or read or write. And he just knew if he had a handful of something, he'd be all right. So he had $300 left that year after settling up with Mr. Rivers. And Mr. Rivers brought 300 $100 bills. And when he brought it and showed it to Ozell, his name, Ozell looked at him and said, white folks, this ain't all my money. I only see three pieces of money, white man, and this ain't all my money. And he says, Ozell, this is $300. No, sir, it ain't. You're going to have to give me my money. And Mr. Rivers thought real quick. He says, all right, I'll go back and get the rest of your money. So he went back and changed the money into fives and tens and a bunch of ones so that it looked like a whole lot of money. He brought it back, and Ozell was so happy that he said, now, white folks, you're good white folks now because you give me all my money. And so what I'm trying to say is that Mr. Rivers was moved by the hand of God. I don't know if he knew that he was or not, but he was led by the hand of God to help the black people that lived on his plantation. So now we had our own property. My daddy went to the VA, got out a nice, beautiful home built. And by the way, if any of you are interested in the book that I wrote, you can find it under my name, henryhearns.org. And you can order the book if you want to through Amazon. And the book is there, and I've recorded all of that to show the hand of God. And what the title of the book is How Odds Are Even by Grace. And I want to let you know it's the hand of God that has brought us to a level of comfort, and every last one of us need to recognize that it's by the hand of God. Excuse me. Now I'd like to take you a quick run through Isaiah 61. And I'd like for you to look at verse 3 particular. And there are four things that are mentioned there. Four things. Number one, watch he says what he said. I appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. I hope you can say as you drive wherever you're going, or if you're just sitting listening at your home, that beauty for ashes. The ashes represent the ugliness on the plantation, the ugliness of how the blacks were treated, the ugliness of how we were brought out of Africa. Those are the ashes that he was talking about. But then the Lord, through his own power, has brought us through all of that and put in us and on us the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come and given his life that we might have eternal life. So that's one of the first things that we see that he has done for us. And I hope that each one of you will recognize the fact that we are, without a question, we are the treasures of God. And he has looked at us in that way. The next thing he said, the second thing he said, I want to give them oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. Now, I cannot believe that you can't feel through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that the oil that flowed during the time of the law and how the oil represented the move of God, now representing under the blood of Jesus, how he has given us the oil of joy. And that oil of joy in this case is the Lord Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. Now watch what that means further. Then he says, also I'm going to give them a praise, the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. And I don't have time in this message today to go through what all of that meant. But in those days, they had a garment called a garment of praise, and you wrap it around you, and it is to shield you from the ugliness of the world and the time that was coming upon you. Down here, the last thing he said, not only would I give them a garment of praise, but I'm even going to give you a new name, and that new name is going to be this. The trees of righteousness, which is planted by the Lord, that he might be glorified. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to reach a close here because we're 20 minutes into the message, so I'm going to have to close. But I just want to let you know that you have been bought with a price, and you are, all you have to do is to accept what the Lord Jesus has given you. And if you accept that, you will be able to rejoice and be able to step out of whatever is ailing you and be comforted by the hand of God. And then we see real quickly that the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm glad today. And then we hear in 2 Corinthians, he says, verse 7 through 9, that we've been troubled on every side, but the Lord has never, ever forsaken us. And I want you to know he cares about us. And it doesn't have anything to do with how pretty you've been. It even works when you're ugly. And I'm glad that God loved me in that way. Father, we come to you now thanking you for the joy that you have given us through the prophecy of Isaiah. Thanking you for the joy that you have given us through the words of your Son. Thank you for the joy that you've given us through Paul and 2 Corinthians. And we just ask you to guide us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah and amen and amen. Come and by and visit with us at our church at the Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, located at 37721 North 100 Street East at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. My pastor's now named, as we have listed him in, and he is a wonderful pastor, and I'm thankful to the Lord for giving him to us, Pastor Rodney Rivers. See you at 10 o'clock if you're not hooked up with a church. Amen.